You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hillary Clinton fanfiction takes a bizarre turn. If you expected it to be normal, then you haven't read Hillary Clinton fanfiction before. And then we take a look, or you didn't even know it existed. And then we meet a man who one day is just driving down the road, and he's invited to take a trip on a UFO by two aliens. Who would pass up such an opportunity to visit a technological marvel? Well, he should have, because this UFO is infected today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. I released something earlier today about we're no longer uploading on YouTube, and I'm not going to go into detail with that again. Just, I wanted to bring that up so the indie music gets stuck in your head again. It's going to be stuck with you for the rest of the day. But if you're not aware, yeah, we're not uploading to YouTube anymore. If you have more questions about it, I released a little, like, 13-minute long segment earlier today. It was just, I was originally going to talk about it at the beginning of this episode, which I am doing now. It just brought the tone down. So just, it's probably the last time I'm going to mention it. But it is not the last time I'm going to introduce our newest Patreon supporter, sliding into Dead Rabbit Command. He's trapped in a sleeping bag. I'm really running out of ways to introduce you guys. He's trapped in a sleeping bag. It's tied up to his neck. It's Nick Bustin Gustin. Everyone give a round of applause to Nick Bustin Gustin as he struggles valiantly to get out of his sleeping bag. We're going to unzip it. Zoop! And there he is. He's wearing a tuxedo in his sleeping bag, and he's wearing that tuxedo for a reason. But before we get into that, if you guys can't support the Patreon, or if you don't have trouble getting that sleeping bags, that's fine too. Just help spread the word about the show. Really, really helps out a lot. Now, Nick Bustin Gustin is wearing a tuxedo. Bing! You're wearing a tuxedo now too. I'm putting on my tuxedo because we're going to be spies for our first story. We're going to have to go undercover. And nothing says undercover like a tuxedo. Okay, James Bond got away with it because he was like infiltrating casinos and stuff like that. Hopefully a lot of people wear tuxedos where we're going. Nick Bustin Gustin, I need you to fire up that Dead Rabbit dirigible. We're headed to Guantanamo Bay. Brrr. Nick Bustin's like, dude, I don't think we should be wearing tuxedos to Guantanamo Bay. Well, we will find out. We'll find out eventually when we get there. As we're headed out to Guantanamo Bay, I start giving a presentation, and you're like, Jason, where'd your tuxedo go? I got itchy. Now I'm wearing sweatpants and a tank top. But I'm standing there, and I go, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why we're headed to Guantanamo Bay is, you guys all remember this in the news. I feel like I don't even have to do the intro for this story. You guys probably remember this, but you guys remember back on March 2nd when Hillary Clinton was arrested? Remember that footage from CNN? Oh, the CNN didn't cover it, of course. You remember that footage from Real Raw News? The only news that's not fully cooked, that's a real website, by the way, Real Raw News. Remember that, like, chopper was flying over Hillary Clinton's compound and the U.S. soldiers, which, I mean, technically they're under the command of President Biden, but I guess in this, I forgot, why am I keep, Real Raw News knows the truth. President Biden, he's not the president. Why do I let these false facts in my head? These military troops under the command of somebody rushed into Hillary Clinton's house, and she had that big giant pile of babies. She ate them up. She's like, you can't take me alive, coppers. It was crazy, dude. I remember, like, everyone at work was just, like, dumbstruck. I mean, we knew Hillary Clinton had this high body count, but we didn't know she had a 50 caliber machine gun. Wave after wave of federal soldiers. She fired until she said, until I run out of bullets or I run out of babies, you can't stop me. Eventually, she ran out of babies. So they did stop her. They came and she's like, no, my adrenochrome. And they dragged her out to Guantanamo Bay. And I know I'm wasting time rehashing that. We all know what happened at her facility. But you don't know this. You don't know. Oh, and I scrolled slightly down on the article. These were Navy SEALs that attacked her under Trump's command. I should have assumed that. I don't want to assume anything. But Trump is still controlling Navy SEALs, and he sent them to take her out. So this is what's been going on. The media's been really silent on this for a while, but Real Raw News is covering it. They are the pink news. They're the uncooked news of the world. You don't want to wait for it to get cooked. You don't want to wait for things like facts to sizzle up and become a nutritious meal. No, you got to eat it raw. You got to just grab that squirrel off the tree and take a bite right out of its stomach. That's the type of news that real raw news provides. Hillary Clinton has been in Guantanamo Bay since March 2nd. And it's really fascinating. They really should like bring scientists out there or fact checkers. They should bring actual journalists out there. But, you know, we don't need those. They should bring scientists out there because what we're seeing firsthand is the effects of adrenochrome withdrawal. So we're now walking through Guantanamo Bay. Nick Bustin, Gustin, and Karate Chopped a bunch of guards were wearing their uniforms. I'm not. The uniform is too itchy. I'm walking through the base in sweatpants and a tank top. You're like, Jason, you're kind of blowing our cover. We're wearing these army uniforms. Eh, whatever. I'm eating chips. Super loud. Super loud. I'm dropping them on laser sensors. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Anyway, somehow we're able to avoid this very, very poorly run facility. You didn't know that? And Hillary Clinton's in a cell. Now, according to these reports, at first she was very, very nice. She was just like, oh, you know, I did commit all those crimes and eat all those babies. And they're like, wait, what was the second part? She's like, oh, no, I didn't eat any babies. Her eyes go from side to side. She goes, but I committed a bunch of crimes. Yeah, I am in Guantanamo Bay. I'm here to do my time. And people go, oh, she's actually not that bad of an inmate. Then, after about the first week, around March 11th, she goes on a hunger strike. And she's refusing to eat any of the delicious food that Guantanamo Bay is known for. It's all delicious Cuban food. Every day they get a Cubano. They don't. It's actually quite a miserable place to be. But she goes on a hunger strike. She's not going to eat any food. And the people are like, dude, you got to eat food. And she starts accusing them of poisoning the food. And when they go to hand her Cubano for the day and her fresh, spicy pickle, she slaps it out of their hand. She goes, what? No, I don't want this stuff. You guys are poisoning my food. And then she starts saying stuff. Like, the first week, she kind of accepted it. But now, she's like, you can't do this to me. You know who I am? You know who I am? I'm Hillary effing Clinton. I'm going to end you. And you. And she's, like, looking at the imaginary person because she's going crazy. And you. You, leprechaun. I'm going to end you, too. Do you know who I am? And the guards are like, oh, that sucks. You know, she used to be just, like, kind of obnoxious. And now she's, like, throwing food at us. She's wasting all these sweet pickles. What are we going to do? But then it gets even worse because as she started, they don't know what's going on. See, they're not as astute as us. These guards, they don't know what's going on. They don't know about adrenochrome like we do. So the first week she gets arrested. She's just complacent. The second week she starts throwing food around, accusing them of being poisoned and saying, I'm Hillary Clinton. But the third week, which is the week we're in right now, if you're bad at knowing time, if you're bad at looking at calendars, she starts pooping everywhere. Everywhere she can poop. She's not like in the warden's office. She's like, the leprechaun granted me a wish. And then disappears. Like, she's pooping all over her cell. So she's walking around her cell. She's pooping everywhere. And people are like, dude, that's super gross. Like, we get it. You're trapped in prison. It's not the best place to be. But quit pooping everywhere. Quit pooping everywhere. One, we have to come in and clean it. Two, we don't even have to come in and clean it. You're the one who has to deal with it. There's poop everywhere. Actually, now I have a question. How does someone on a hunger strike poop everywhere? Where are they getting the poop from? So, I'm sure there's a reasonable answer for that. But this whole story is Hillary Clinton fanfiction. We'll get to this in a second. This is truly reported in real raw news. I'm not making it up. I didn't find this on Wattpad either. But former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is walking around her cell as we speak, pooping everywhere. As I'm saying this sentence right now, poop is coming out of Hillary Clinton's butt. Can you believe YouTube? Can you believe YouTube wants to get rid of this show? But now we're in the end game. Now things are even worse because apparently Hillary Clinton is just kind of sitting in her cell. She's just motionless in there going, And they're like, great. What's going to happen now? And so they finally call in a doctor. The doctor's all pinching his nose as he walks in there. And they check her out and they notice she has track marks on her arms from all of these needle injections. And the doctor goes, very, very interesting. I've been listening to lots of 6-hour videos on YouTube about the science of adrenochrome. This woman seems like she's going through adrenochrome withdrawal. He can pronounce the word. He can actually pronounce the word withdrawal. He says it correctly, but he also does a blood test. And what he realized this word is actually used in this article, transmorgification. Did you ever think you would hear the words Hillary Clinton, Guantanamo Bay, and transmorgification in the same segment? So apparently she's like twitching and frothing at the mouth. There's poop everywhere. And they tested. So apparently, according to State Department records, so Real Raw News knows this stuff. Real Raw News got to the source. They have a person in the State Department who found out. I don't know if this is true. And it's if this is true detail, it's absolutely terrifying. Supposedly, Hillary Clinton's actual blood type is AB negative. It's creepy to me to think that somebody could know that about somebody else. Like, I know in, like, other countries, that's like, hey, how's your sign or what's your sign? They'll say, what's your blood type? But I don't think Hillary Clinton's trying to pick up young men in Japan and being like, hey, so what's your blood? How do they know that her blood type is AB negative? If that's truly her blood type, that's terrifying. That Real Raw News, maybe they do have real reporters. Maybe they got to the raw truth, the bloody raw truth. The blood in the middle of the meat, it's AB negative. But she transmorgified. Because now, the doctor's like looking at her State Department records he downloaded from Real Raw News. That's where he goes for his medical information as well. The Guantanamo Bay doctor is going through his records and he goes, apparently, it looks like Hillary Clinton's blood type is AB negative. But when I turn slightly to the left here and look under this microscope, he's magnifying stuff. He goes, I can see two other blood types in her bloodstream. I see a little A negative floating around. And then I see a little O positive. And he goes, that's impossible. Unless you have been getting steady injections of other people's blood into you. Therefore giving you additional blood types. Now, I don't know if Hillary Clinton's blood type is AB negative. I do know for a fact that if you get other people's blood injected into you that is of a different blood type, you're going to be super, super sick. If not die. It would not change your blood type. Because otherwise, people would be like, well, you have a really rare blood type. We can't do a transfusion. However, we can give you a new blood type using these other people's blood. We'll just invent one. We'll invent a new blood type for you. And the article ends with Hillary Clinton. She's still sitting in Guantanamo Bay. But the doctor goes, this must be the mythological adrenochrome I've heard so much about. That she's going through adrenochrome withdrawal, and she went to prison, and she goes, okay, I'm just going to deal with this. And the first stage of adrenochrome withdrawal the first stage when you run out of adrenochrome is you go, I'm Hillary effing Clinton, no matter who you are. You could be Tom Hanks, and he's on the set of a movie. He's like, I'm Hillary effing Clinton, and people are like, uh-oh, get him a baby, stat. You have that. So apparently that's the second stage. The third stage is you poop everywhere. And then the fourth stage, or maybe it's part of the third stage, I kind of lost count. You just start shaking in the corner and frothing at the mouth. And you have different blood types, which would explain the shaking in the corner and the frothing in the mouth. So it's a very interesting saga that is going on right now. We will have to see. Apparently her trial is going to be held on April 8th. So take April 8th off, guys. That's going to be a big day where you can sit and imagine. You can just watch a blank television screen, but you can imagine this stuff is real. You can imagine this going on. This is a super fascinating. I just stumbled across this today. This is such a fascinating story because it's one. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for you, but this is 100% not real. But somebody wrote it. Somebody wrote, and it's so, when I call it Hillary Clinton fan fiction, like, that's what it is. The story starts off with the Navy SEALs arresting her at her Chappaqua home in New York. And she's in Guantanamo Bay and the pooping everywhere and all that stuff. Somebody wrote that out. I find it so fascinating. Somebody wrote it out. Somebody knows this is fake and wrote it out. And other people are reading it and going, oh, yeah, I can't wait for April 8th. She's finally going to get what she deserves. It's so weird that somebody could write. This is fiction. Even stuff like Monkeys Don't Exist from Hans, or people looking at tree stumps, or even people saying, What's the new thing? Biden's a hologram. That's the new thing. I'll put that video in the show notes. Biden's a hologram. George Bush is a hologram. All these holograms are walking around. Everyone's a hologram but you. That's why you feel so lonely. Everyone else is just lights and photons. Even that stuff is like observational conspiracy theories. You're looking at something and you go, what? I don't understand how these monkeys look like this. I don't understand why NASA uses the color orange. Stuff like that. This is fully fictionalized. Like, even flat Earth, I can understand someone looking and going, I don't see the curve. It's an observational thing. But this is somebody complete. This is 100% made up. This is not. This is on the level of, remember, Ellen was under house arrest and she had the ankle bracelet on and all that. And now she's like doing her show. And Tom Hanks is on the set of movies and stuff like that. Remember all that? It was. But see, even that was like, look, and I'm looking at a video of Tom Hanks and his doorway looks weird. So maybe he's in Guantanamo Bay, or he was in a, I think he was in Guantanamo Bay, or he was on a jail on a cruise ship or something. I don't even remember at this point. But this is totally made up. There's not a picture of Hillary Clinton covered in feces and then people going, I wonder why that is. And then backfilling the story. This is just something somebody made up and people would believe it. I don't know if Real Raw News made it up. I don't know if Real Raw News found the article from somebody else. Like, who was the source? I find it so fascinating. We've moved past observational conspiracy theories so quickly. And it's accelerating far more. This is, they're just making stuff up. As much fun as I had telling the story, where it's a little frightening that we've moved to the point where someone can make up a story and it gets reported. Because this isn't just reported on Real Raw News. I found this on Dark Outpost. They did a whole video on it. And then I followed that back to the quote-unquote source, which is Real Raw News. So this is growing in, it boggles my mind that someone could sit down and write fiction and it be accepted into conspiracy theory community. This is bad stuff. This is totally different than the conspiracy theories we had in the past. Oh, look at the way the bullet hit JFK. That's an observational conspiracy theory. You're looking at something that doesn't make sense. This one is, oh, I'm just going to make stuff up. And people believe it. April 8th, though, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Hillary Clinton right now, right as I'm saying this, is taking another dump in Guantanamo Bay. I'll bet money that she isn't. She may be taking a dump right now, but I doubt it is in Guantanamo Bay. So, Nick, it's time to leave Guantanamo Bay. We see Hillary Clinton inside the cell, her arms reaching out. She's like, I was once a man. Once a man! She turns into a snake with all these eyes, and she slithers through the bars. We're like, well, that was an obscure reference. That was a joke that, like, 10 of you will get. But we wave goodbye to Servant Hillary Clinton, and she's headed off to Cobra Law. We are going to the Carpenter Copter. Nick, get the Bad Boys started as the soldiers are showing up. Bad Boys 2 actually ended, speaking of Bad Boys, ended in Guantanamo Bay. I really liked Bad Boys 2. I'm going and doing a movie review as U.S. soldiers are opening fire on us. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's one scene where they're driving on the highway. You're like, Jason, get on the stupid Carpenter Copter. We're about to get shot. Oh, I really like that movie. Carpenter Copter is leaving behind Guantanamo Bay. Speaking of movies, new today on digital and on demand, Joel McHale and Carrie Bichet lead an all-star cast in the dark romantic comedy Happily. The film centers around a couple who, after 14 years of marriage, discover their friends are resentful of their constant public displays of affection. When a visit from a mysterious stranger leads to a dead body, they begin to question the loyalty of their so-called friends. Buy or rent Happily today on digital and on demand. Rated R from Paramount Pictures. Carpenter Copter has left Cuban airspace, the U.S. military. They're like, ah, whatever. We'll get them later. They're going to leave us alone. Nick, I want you to take us on out to England. Specifically, we're going to Leeds. It's August 1976. It's 2 a.m. And as Nick is flying over the countryside, we see a little person, not like a hobbit or anything like that, but they're little because we're so high up. We see Jan Sidlecki walking home. And eventually, like most journeys, they come to an end. The hobbit adventure is over. He's throwing the ring into the Mountain of Doom. Or Mount Doom, sorry, guys. Mount Doom, not the Mountain of Doom. And he crawls into bed. And then He wakes up because there's such a bright light outside. And he looks out his window. First off, he thinks there's a fire. The light is so intense. He's like, oh no, the Mountain of Doom has come to get me. Sauron is back. He looks outside and he sees a UFO, just a normal UFO disc-shaped craft, trying to land in his yard. He notices the UFO is wobbly. It looks like it's not coming straight down like a helicopter would. Helicopters tend to just land, other stuff land. It looked uneven. Even he's like, I'm not an expert in intergalactic travel, but that doesn't look safe. It's kind of wobbling. It lands, and he goes outside. Because who wouldn't, right? Maybe you'd be scared, but, you know, you'd probably want to go outside and criticize their craft. You're like, what? That's totally lame. Watch me throw this frisbee. That's way more aerodynamic and make them all jealous. He goes out there and he sees two humanoid aliens in full suits. They're wearing like these astronaut type suits. They're a yellowish orange suit and they have helmets and their faces are completely covered up with visors. And he can hear them talking. He can't understand what they're saying. And he sees one of them kind of look around and then start playing with this control panel, which I didn't mention. They also have control panels on their chest. He starts playing with this control panel. Hello. Welcome. Welcome, young. We are in trouble with ship, the alien says. He also goes on to say, we will have to make repairs before we leave. I don't know if he talked like a robot. I don't know if he talked like a dork. He's all trying a little pocket protector in his spacesuit. The other aliens face palming. He's so embarrassed to be with this one. This is the actual quote. We are in trouble with ship. We will have to make repairs before we leave. We apologize for the intrusion. As soon as repaired, we go. Now, whether or not they talked like dorks, Jan did realize their voices sounded like children. They sounded very young. And so they invite him on the craft. They're like, hey, man, so while we're trying to fix this defective UFO, why don't you come hang out with us on this craft? And I love this story because we're going to get into some really bizarre details with this one. He goes on this spaceship, and the first thing that he realizes, and I've never really encountered this in UFO stories before, is the smell. He notices the smell. He says it smells like rotting grass. I can't think of another UFO story where we've come across UFO stories where people say aliens smell, but I don't think I've ever come across a UFO story where the UFO itself smells. And as he's led deeper into the ship, he sees a room with grass in it, with 2-foot-high grass, and there's flowing water moving through this room. Never have encountered something like that in my years of UFO research. Basically, it's not even like a botany lab. It's not even like some place that Geordi LaForge would hang out when he was lonely. It was straight up like an alien would need a lawnmower to take care of this. There was grass. It was like a grassy field with water flowing through it. He asked the alien, and Jan's being a very clever person about this. He asked the alien, how fast does the ship fly? He's actually trying to figure out questions. And he's given an answer. It's very, very interesting. He's given an answer. The alien turns to him and goes, B-13. Just keeps walking. It's like, that's not helpful at all. What is B-13? But apparently that is a gauge in alien language. If you go B-13, that's pretty fast. That's interstellar travel. Okay, very, very minor detail, but it's very interesting. He walks into this other room, he's being given this tour, and he sees 4 alien dudes just sitting there. They have their heads between their knees, like they're completely slumped over, and they're holding their head, almost like in a weird, very uncomfortable meditative pose. So do this right now. Unless you're driving, do this right now. If you're sitting down, put your head between your knees, and then put your hands on both sides of your head. Now you are taking an alien pose. The other guys were wearing the yellow-orange jumpsuits, the one-pieces. These guys were wearing black one-piece suits. And he says these ones had no helmets on, so he could actually see their faces. And they're described as humanoid. So it doesn't necessarily say that they're gray, but most likely that they had enough human features that without the helmet on, it didn't strike him as they had giant eyeballs, they had scales or anything like that. They had hair. They had brown hair, so they're all sitting there in this pose. Four men sitting in a circle, head between their knees, hands on their head, and they're sitting around a black, bubbling, oil-like substance. Bloop, 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 bloop. And Jan's like, what type of ship is this? I never saw this on Flash Gordon. Bloop, 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 bloop. And these four men are just motionless around this. And he said every so often a red light would fly out of the black oil and just kind of inhabit the room. It would just kind of float around the room, maybe like the size of a grapefruit or a baseball or something like that. It kind of just floats around the room. And then these guys are sitting there, and Jan's still watching what's trying to really make sense about what's going on. And a football-sized orange light hovers out of the black oil. And Jan's watching it, and he said it would start floating around and then freeze in place and just sit in the room, and then start floating around again and then freeze in place. And then from all around him in the spacecraft, these four dudes are still just sitting there motionless, but from all around him in the spacecraft, Jan can hear sounds of panic. He hears feet. It's not a... It sounds like a horse. They're like, get the Riders of Rohan ready! People running on metal grates and stuff like that, running, hears people panicking. No, 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 no. And his tour guides all of a sudden start being like, uh-oh. And those four dudes are still just sitting in front of the oil. That orange giant ball is still floating around the room. His tour guides are like, hey, Jan, let's get out of this room. Let's go, 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 go. And he starts being ushered through the ship, and he's seeing people panicking in all these different rooms. And he goes, what's going on? Like, what's going on? And he's told that, don't worry, it's just a, quote, space bug. Again, that's like the B-13 thing. It's not really giving him any information, but whatever this orange ball of light is, it was enough that everyone's panicking. The aliens take him to the door of the UFO. So now he's looking at this ramp that leads down. And the aliens are standing there at the doorway, and they look at him, and here's another quote from him. The aliens say, when you get out, run. It's like, okay, I understand that. He runs down the ramp and runs out in this field that this UFO's in, and he turns around and he says the UFO makes this super high-pitched whistling sound, which I'm not going to do because some of you guys listen to this while you're sleeping, but just imagine, but super loud, and the UFO shoots up into the air. Now, he says as the UFO is flying away, flames are coming out of the bottom of it. That might be the propulsion system, or that might be the UFO ready to self-destruct. It may be like rocket ship flames, or it could be that the spacecraft is on fire and everyone was going to die very, very soon. This story actually came from UFO Magazine Volume 15, Issue 1. I got it from thinkaboutitdocs.com. Great website. One of the funnest things about the show is honestly going to that website and reading up about it and things like that. Very, very bizarre story for a couple different reasons. One, and I think we can kind of tie them both together and we'll wrap it up like this, but you have this very surreal interior of the ship. A lot of times, even when we've covered a lot of UFO stories where even when the alien encounter is surreal, the UFO interior itself is things like long hallways, rooms full of unique creatures, cages full of animals or other humans. People will be brought onto a vehicle, a spacecraft, the alien will be acting weird, or how they got abducted was acting, or how they got abducted was weird, mind control, whatever. But it ends with them on a table. It ends with very typical alien UFO behavior. This one, the interior of the UFO is so bizarre. The bubbling oil and the lights. Was that the engine room? Was it some sort of prayer room, meditation room? Was it essential to the ship's function? Was it just four guys who were goofing off and released the space bug? What's the space bug? The grass room? Like very, very weird, surreal details in the UFO itself. And I think that leads into really, I think I've kind of touched on this in another episode before as well, but I find this fascinating. I think that the UFO phenomenon is way more complicated than we think it is. I think there are aliens out there, but I think what we consider to be the UFO phenomenon is not that. Let me explain for a second. I think the UFO phenomenon is always and always will be technology beyond our grasp. So that's my thesis statement. Think about it this way. In olden times, in biblical times, in prehistoric, we don't know what they were seeing, but in biblical times, when they'd look up at the sky, they would see this phenomenon. It would be as if it was biblical or angelic or from the gods. You would see these things happen in the skies and you would say that was Zeus flying in his chariot, or that was Ezekiel's flaming chariot. A lot of chariots back then. You would, and actually that would make sense because that was their, that was one of their most advanced ways of transportation, was the chariot. So at least on land. So you would see things, you would describe them as chariots of fire. It's our technology, but something extra. It's a flying chariot. And then when we move further in time, you start to hear the stories of the airships. Back before we had massive dirigibles in the skies, you had stories of cowboys, you had stories of pioneers in the United States looking up and seeing these mighty airships. We even covered a story of an airship abducting a cow, a rope, came down from the airship and wrapped around a cow and pulled it on board. That story actually, now I remember, that story ended up, I think, being a fraud. But we had those stories about those airships, and we had these corollaries to UFO abductions. And now we're in the era, and really we weren't, it was a long time, it was like in the 1940s is when we got the idea of the flying saucer, when man had mastered the sky. We moved from biplanes and dirigibles ourselves to jets. We were launching missiles across countries. We owned the skies. We earned the skies through technological advancements. So all of a sudden, these new things appeared. Because when you look at the old stories in the Bible, it wasn't like this thing moved and it made these weird, it moved faster than the speed of sound and we were hearing sonic booms everywhere and the way it was angular, it was just a something in the sky you couldn't explain. And then the airships just moved like airships, but the fact that people could look up and see people waving from these airships, and there's all these stories about them. Now that we mastered the skies and we had these amazing fighter jets, this amazing aircraft, now the vehicles move faster than we could ever move, defy the laws of gravity, break the sound barrier without breaking the sound barrier, without making noise. There was an article that just dropped today from the former secretary, who was it? Let me look it up. This isn't a fake article. This was in the Daily Mail. This has been reported. It was on Fox News as well. John Ratcliffe, Donald Trump's former director of national intelligence, just said in an interview the other day that there are a lot of sightings that have not been declassified, and that Trump's administration was trying to declassify some stuff beforehand about vehicles that are breaking the sound barrier without breaking the sound barrier. We don't hear the sonic boom and things like that. So you notice as our technology advances, their technology advances. They're always a step aside. It's almost like looking at a mirage. You're walking through a desert, you see the oasis, but no matter how close you get to it, it's always farther away. That's what the UFO phenomenon seems like. And the reason why this story makes me think of that is that this man, he could be on this craft or having this experience, but it is informed by his own experiences as well. If someone else had gone into that ship in a different time period, would it have had any of that stuff? Would it have been metallic? Would it have had the grass thing? Like, is it a matter of what our perception is and what we expect to see in all of these things? How does this work? Like, would the experience be the same if the observer was different? I know there's a lot of people who believe that aliens are from other planets and they have the structure and society and political system and everything like that. And that may be true, but I don't necessarily think what we consider the UFO phenomenon is the same thing as aliens on another planet. Because it wouldn't make sense for aliens to come down in ancient alien times and be flying around chariots of fire, or then switching to airships in the 1800s. It just wouldn't make sense. And now, The flying saucers that are reported now move faster than the flying saucers that were reported in 1940s, 1950s. The photos are just a disc floating in the sky. And of course, some of those are fake. But people are like, yeah, I was in a fighter jet. I'm flying over Mount Shasta. I see these saucers in front of me. Nowadays, these same saucer, these same unidentified objects are moving so fast, modern day fighter jets can barely keep up with them. I think it will always be out of reach. No matter how far our technology goes, this phenomenon will always be faster. And it's not like their technology is evolving. It's that it's an oasis in the desert. And there will be a time where man will be in space, where a man will be crossing the cosmos, where mankind may actually meet aliens on other planets. But I believe even in the deepest, darkest part of space, you will have a vessel 3,000 years in the future floating through the void. And the engineer is sitting there, he's running a diagnostic, and something appears in their early warning system. An object far more massive than any known civilization has ever built. Moving faster than any comprehensible speed appears on their view screen. And the captain is reluctant to report it because he knows that every other deep space captain who has encountered one of these things gets ridiculed and everyone makes fun of them. There's nothing that big. There's nothing that fast. You're seeing a phantom. It doesn't exist. So the captain just orders the engineer to mark it in the log, but not to mention it to anyone. Maybe someday people will accept those sightings as being as legit as people are accepting flying saucer sightings as being legit today. But it doesn't matter. No matter how advanced human technology gets, we will never catch up to the mirage known as the UFO phenomenon. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. Twitter is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal conspiracy and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great one, guys.